Hey guys, welcome back. Welcome to a new episode of our show. We are here with the guys from Victims, and at least one of the hosts of Victims and Villains. Do I have that right?
Yeah.
His name is, I'll just go with Joshua. Is that okay? Or do you prefer Captain Nostalgia?
That's whatever. Whatever you want, man. It's fine.
I'd rather leave it up to you. That way, if you prefer one over the other, so it doesn't matter to me. I just want to be polite as much as possible to you. You're the guest on our show.
All right. Well, man. That's fine. Okay. Surprise me. Change it up.
Okay. I'll probably be, since Josh is Josh. Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, I'm here with Josh from Victims and Villains. Tell me a little bit about your show. This is a crossover event for us. So
our show is unlike anything else that's out there. When we first started, we kind of didn't realize that when you get into podcasting, it is like stepping into an ocean, and that you don't ever. There's just so many out there. I mean, there is podcasts for almost everything out there. And we experimented a lot for the first 3 or 4 months that we kind of were out there. And we were just a couple of geeks getting together, talking nerd culture. And We wanted to do something different. Like, there was just something in us that kind of in our DNA that wanted to do something different. And September was vastly approaching of last year. And when I say that we are a show unlike any other show, we truly mean it. And we've never come across anything else like our show. But if there is something else out there like our show, I do apologize. We are a suicide prevention nerd news podcast, and I know when people hear that, that is like such a mouthful. And so essentially what our show does is we love to talk nerd, but at the same time, being a man of God, I've always kind of wanted to do something a little bit more and kind of bring in the idea of hope into something new and something exciting. And so what we sat down and we talked about is there's three of us doing the show, and all three of us have struggled with self-harm or depression or addiction, or we've been affected by suicide in some way, shape, or form. And we really wanted to bring that kind of aspect into it. So we started in our 15th episode bringing in people from different backgrounds that would talk about their story of depression and suicide and how they overcame it. Any advice that they wanted to kind of offer to people doing that. And since we've done that, our show has really gravitated heavier more on that. So, we didn't plan to keep the suicide part of our show. And we got such a good response from it, and we just kind of felt like there was a mutual agreement between all three of us that it was what was going to set us apart. And I don't mean we kept doing suicide prevention to be set apart. I mean it in the aspect of that we wanted to make a difference. And our philosophy with this show has always been, what's the point of having a voice if you're not going to use it for something good, something decent? And so what we started doing was since we've made the transition to being full-blood, half nerd and half suicide prevention, we've had the pleasure of doing too many conventions, two concerts, and a show, The Cook-Off. And we've been able to we've been able to go into different cities, and every city that we've gone into since the start of this year, we have partnered with local therapists in the area. So where we might be able to kind of make an impact or a splash into your season of depression, or we have also teamed up with those people to kind of make a deeper impact, to not only, not just to make a splash, but to make a dent, a breakthrough, and a disappearance of that depression and those suicidal feelings.
That's never apologize. I always take a look at it when it comes to at least our show. Never apologize. I know it comes off wrong, and at least with on our show, we don't apologize for a lot of things unless we absolutely have to. But you're creating something unique. You're taking your own little path down that road and into the podcasting world. There could be 15. There are. Our type of show is kind of like, meaning the nerd aspect of podcasting, is a dime a dozen. There's going to be loads of similarities. I know with my show, I try not to come off like Chris Hardwick, or come off like a Kevin Smith, or come off like a Joe Rogan, or even like a YouTuber. But it's going to happen. You know, I never apologize for that, man. Never apologize. it's like, yeah, you know, even though you're doing good work, you know, just with what you're doing, it's just that with a lot of people out there, what we do, our bubble has not broke yet. It hasn't even gotten to YouTube levels yet, even though podcasting's been around for years. I've told people, if you gotta break into the realm with a sledgehammer, do it. Do it, even if it's not a sledgehammer. You got to walk in with Mjolnir. Hey, we're geeks. It's going to hell. Do it. Yeah. But we got to carry that. We got to go in head first with, like, gaming warriors, you know, whatever you want to do. Don't apologize, man. Don't apologize. I've had a lot of, with my shows, I've told people, hey, I've had bad interviews. I know. I could point to interviews where, gee, I sucked on that interview. But the thing is, it just shows that, hey, you got to take our good with our bad. You know, we're going to, for every gem that we put out there, we're going to have one that's not. To the folks that are listening to us right now, we do welcome all the people that were coming over from the Villains and Victims show.
Victims and Villains, sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. My bad. Dyslexic moment. I'm going to see, folks, this is what happens. Mistakes are made. let me write that down so I don't get confused myself. And Bill. Okay. But with, like I said, where was I going with this? This is what, again, folks, no editing on our part. I do not edit my shows. If I do, it's only for a special reason. I don't want to move away from the whole aspect of suicide prevention. It does affect all geeks, and I'm going to point to, our show just got off with one crossover with Victims and Villains. We'll be doing a different aspect of their show, which covers the whole aspect of depression and suicide prevention with their show, which does affect a lot of people in our hobby, so to speak, because it, for the longest time, a lot of nerds, a lot of geeks, even though we take that that name with a grain of salt nowadays, it is that it was at one point a bad nomenclature, so to speak. We do have a load of anxiety problems and so forth and so on. But what's your number one recommendation for helping our kind overcome such things?
So the first thing that I would like to point out is that this is a very real issue, and it's an issue that a lot of people don't want to talk about. It's an issue that a lot of people want to keep buried, and that is the reason that they kind of go to this fandom, so to speak. And there are 121 people that have killed themselves today, and there are 3,000 more, almost 3,100 more, that have tried to commit suicide but have either been unsuccessful or have decided against it. And so there are 44,193 suicides that will occur by the end of this year. That's the statistics from 2016, which is up from 2015. So my first initial thing to say to the fandom people is open up. Because the worst thing that you could possibly do to yourself, to the families, and to everyone else that's around you is to stay silent. And I know everyone's like, we just did a, this past week, we had just did a, we spoke at a coffee house. And, you know, when you're associated with like musical acts that are all like, you know, fun and all, you know, just super happy, cheery people. And then you get up and you kind of start talking about suicide. It's like a real like weight has been like dropped in that room. So again, one of the guys had, you know, mentioned it to me after the show. He's like, you know, don't apologize, you know, for, you know, something like what you're doing is going to come off uncomfortable to people, but it shouldn't be uncomfortable because it's real. And the thing about it is that yes, it's going to be super uncomfortable to sit down and talk with someone about what you're going through, but I promise you, it is going to feel 10 times better than what you're currently trying to do and trying to hide it.
And to part of what I know I didn't bring it up on your show, which dropped recently, it's kind of like the background aspect of why my show exists. It's not as forefront as yours, but there have been many times in my past when I hear, recently I've been hearing it through like some of the podcasting communities, but it's more so with radio, how people have been down and out on that verge, looking into that dark abyss, just pondering, you know, the whole aspect of, do I do it? Do I not do it? You know, do I wait? Do it, you know, pondering whatever that question going through his or her mind at that point. And all of a sudden, a certain radio program comes on. Maybe they have music and a podcast comes on. And it just, wait a minute, I have to sit down. I want to listen to this. And it literally saves them in a way that it allows them to live one more day. It allows them to live one more week. It helps them bring them back from that brink. And right now, even though my show is a little bit small, but it even though you want to know it, you don't want to know it. You know, because you're making a difference. You might be making a difference to someone somewhere.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I think that the one thing that we've really kind of, we haven't been around as long as you guys have, but one thing that we've really learned about in doing our podcast is that you just got to be real with people, and you have to be upfront with them and accept them for what they are. And we've had so many people on our show come and share their stories that, like, of just where they find hope. And one thing that I brought up this past weekend at our coffee show was something that I had kind of come across while I was preparing notes for speaking in Virginia, the 11th and 12th of this month. And people, we define hope as, you know, different things. Different people define hope as, you know, so many different things. And what hope actually is it's a noun. And it's a noun in the sense that it's something to look forward to. But it's also a verb, which is an action, and it's something that you hope to be true. And when you're hoping for something to be true, you're chasing after it. And that is really what we wanted to go through, is we really wanted people to know that there's a difference between having an idea of hope and actually taking the action to get hope. And I think so many people that are suicidal, they have this tendency, at least that I've found, to have the idea of hope rather than actually going and getting the action of getting hope, getting help. And that's why you see and you read statistics that are that for every successful suicide that exists, there's 25 more that have been attempted. And I think the reason that 25 more have been attempted for every successful suicide is because people, again, going back to what I was saying, people have this idea of hope, but they don't really cling to it, or they don't hold on to it tight enough. And they're like, well, this person's like let me down, boom. Or, you know, this thing has let me down. The thing about it, hope, is that if and I don't know what you believe or what your audience believes is, but one thing that, you know, like I said, like being a man of God, wanted to do something better, there's a scripture that says hope doesn't disappoint. And when you find real hope, when you find true hope, and hope that isn't just a concept or an idea, but hope that is actually the action of living it out and walking in that hope and getting that help, talking to people, making a dent to make those suicidal and those feelings of depression go away, it doesn't disappoint.
As we said before, a lot of our community, or what I mean that our nerd geek community, it has a high anxiety rate, it has a high, I want to say a high suicide rate, I don't know what the numbers are, but, and I'm not going to, you know, say what numbers are right, but what both of ours, at least I'll say it right here on this episode, if you need somebody to talk to, there's a lot of great programs to talk, you know, to call, helplines to call. If you are seriously, I'm saying this as a disclaimer, speak to somebody, call somebody, a pastor, a local pastor, someone in the medical field, there's a plethora of people out there that will be more than happy to help you out and help you bring you back from that brink better than at least I could. So,
yeah, and one of the things that our website offers is we offer resources for people that are struggling. So if you guys go to victimsandvillains.net, it's – and you click on the section marked "Hope Speaks Louder." As of right now, I mean, it's pretty basic as far as like outline, and it's effective in that it not only does it present you with statistics, but all the statistics that we pull are we accredit it to the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and they're credited with a link. I believe a link to their website is on our website. Could be wrong, but all the statistics are directly from their website. So they're up to date. At the same time, we also offer too, there is also a place where you guys can have the access to the Suicide Prevention Lifeline. And what that essentially is, for those of you guys who don't know, is it's literally you call the Suicide Prevention Lifeline, and it's somebody that walks you through and listens to you. So even if you feel like you don't have a friend, if you have a phone, which every American does, they have a phone, pick it up. It's 1-800-273-8255. And you get connected with someone instantly. And I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but there's actually also Every state actually has their own designated suicide lifeline. And on our website, we have links to where you can find your state and find your people that actually you're the number for your state locally. So you're talking to people that are near you also too.
For once again, for those who might have missed your website, what was that website?
It's victimsandvillains.net, and essentially what you'll do is it'll pull up when you pull up, it'll have our logo, our tagline to our show, and then it'll have where you can check out all our events, donate. But the site that you really want to look for is it's a page marked Hope Speaks Louder.
I just want to stress the importance of that. That way somebody at least has a baseline to go to. I will definitely include it in our show notes so people have a place to go to, at least have it on paper. Just drilled into all that. My mind is a little bit scatterbrained to go a little bit beyond the whole downer. I don't like to be a Debbie Downer on my show at all, or at least for the most part. To kind of bring it back to a little bit of the geeky origins, I think you said on us on your program, you told me on when we were recording for your show, which again dropped recently. Check out his website where can we find your show?
So you can find the show right now on we are trying to push our website as much as possible, and our website has all of the back issues. The episode which was this crossover was episode 41, so you guys can go and check out all the episodes from our terrible beginnings to the recent format and change in format for us. It's victimsandvillains.net. And then you just click on episodes on our front page. We're also available on iTunes, Podomatic, Plugged In, a whole bunch of other like major. I think the only one that we're not on that's major would be Google Play.
I just want to let people know where to find you guys, and it'll probably be on the show notes as well. Just that you mentioned that you are a, like myself, a cord cutter. So, what shows have you been watching recently?
So, I'm a 90s kid, and I have been... I love any real aspects of the 90s. So, I've been... Recently, the show that has really... The two shows that really garnered a lot of my attention have been... a show called Frequency. And Frequency was a reboot of a 2000 film starring Jim Caviezel, who played Jesus in Passion of the Christ, and Dennis Quaid, who has been in some pretty awesome movies. And essentially, the story is about a... The movie was about a father and son who... we're both cops, and the father died, but actually ends up talking to his – he actually ends up being able to talk to his son through this, like, ham radio that gets struck by magic lightning, and they actually catch this killer that's been on the loose for, like, 20 years together through teamwork, and the – television show is the same concept, but it deals a little bit more with the technical side of what happens when you mess with time travel and how things, when you affect them in the past, affect the present. And it's different in the fact that it is now a father-daughter team. And so it's been a real treat to kind of go through and watch that. And that show did not get picked up for a second season. It kind of bombed when it was on CW this past year. But I loved it. I am currently on episode 11 right now, and there's a 13 seasons. There's 13 episodes, so I've been watching that, and I have been for the last year been going through not just the television show, but the mythology as a whole of the X-Files, and rewatching all of them and Power Rangers kind of off and on over the last year or so. Those are the two shows that I've been really watching, like binge watching, but obviously following Arrow and Flash and Supergirl, and not a Legends fan, so but yeah, Gotham and Superstore and SNL, love Saturday Night Live, so
that's surprising. It's surprising to hear that you're a Gotham fan. A lot of people are not really a Gotham fan, for whatever reason. I think they're doing a good job with the show. I don't know how caught up you are with
Gotham. I am. I was disappointed that they only kind of gave Jerome his own little trilogy, is what I would say, is probably the best word, because you could have done so much better than that. Like, it was such a pleasant treat getting to kind of see him come back as their version of the Joker, so to say. But it was kind of sad that you only got 3 episodes out of it. But he's still out there, so.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like it's hit and miss, but they're trying to do their own thing. As much as what I would love to see, it'll never happen because Gotham is too dark for its own. I won't say for its own good, but it's too dark for what I'm thinking should happen. But then again, it's also on Fox too, so that's a hindrance. Is a similarly a crossover event with like maybe Arrow, but then again you have something that's way too lighthearted in a way versus something that's way too dark, kind of like how what Fox kind of stumbled over with and upon themselves when they tried to cross over Jesus, didn't mean to use the Lord's name in vain, but with the Headless Horseman and Bones.
Oh, Sleepy Hollow and Bones.
Sleepy Hollow and Bones, where it kind of worked with Sleepy Hollow crossing over to Bones, but it didn't work vice versa, where it seemed too Looney Tunes-y, Warner Brothers-y, meaning it's kind of like da 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 da. We're Bones. We're you know we're Bones. We're here. We're gone. And it just too much camp.
I don't think Fox knows how to do crossovers that well, because they did one earlier this season for Brooklyn Nine-Nine and New Girl, and there was literally like no crossover elements except Jess Day, who is Zooey Deschanel, like she showed up in like one random scene for Brooklyn, and then Andy Samberg showed up for one random scene in New Girl. So I don't know if it's just like a downfall, if they have like poor writing over there, but they just don't know how to do crossovers that well.
I don't think, in regards to Fox, I don't think where. With shows similarly to the CW, where you have shows like Arrow, Flash, League, and Supergirl kind of all on the same, not so much page, but they're willing to sit down and say, let's talk. Come on, let's talk. Let's shit. Let's chat. Let's see what we could do for a crossover. Where in Fox, it's a little bit more so, why do you want to come over to our show type of ordeal? Why should we come over to your show? Why? So, but yet let's see, where was it? Have you watched any of Stranger Things yet?
All right, so when Stranger Things first came on, everyone and their mothers was like, "Oh, you gotta watch it, you gotta watch it." And me and my wife sat down and watched the first three episodes over the course of a week, and neither one of us could really get into it. So I saw the trailer for the second one today, since they released it, and I'm like, I should probably give it like another chance, just kind of pick up where it was, because it is my kind of thing, nostalgic and horror. So I don't know, like, it just, I felt like the burn on it was really, really slow.
That's the downside. It is a slow burn. The Winona Ryder plays crazy perfectly in this. You just have to, it's like watching season one of Breaking Bad. It's kind of, you have to plow through it to get through it, as much as you don't want to. Hopefully season two is way better. Fortunately, we don't have that luxury to just do that and just power watch a whole mess of seasons over the course of a week or a month to make say, all right, season one was bad, let's go with season two. And plow through season one, get through season two, maybe it'll pick up. But it's one of the things that at least Netflix is doing right. It's taking the whole aspect of let's do dark, let's do more adult themes, as well as a lot of the lighter themes too, with bringing back some shows like, I haven't seen it, but shows like Arrested Development and a few others.
Yeah, I would agree. And as far as, like, Netflix has a really great balance as far as, like, the programming that they do. And I tell you what, they even do kids' programs really well. So a couple years ago, there was a movie that DreamWorks had released called Home. And it had Rihanna, Jim Parsons, and Steve Martin in it. And it's a little gem of a movie. If you've never seen it, it's on Netflix. Go check it out. Me and my wife, we fell in love with it. And they actually had released kind of a 2D spinoff film of it. And, like, even that, like, if we're in the mood for something a little bit lighter, like, me and my wife have slowly been kind of going through the first two seasons that they have on there. And even that is such a fun show. So they really can't, I won't say that they can't fail, because every Adam Sandler movie that they've taken on so far has a 0% on Rotten Tomatoes, but that's not for me to judge. I just, Adam Sandler's kind of like, that boat has sailed for me.
Yeah, a lot of what he's done is not that good, especially, I don't know if you heard this or not, back when Pixels came out, what was that, like, a year, earlier last year, late 2015?
Mid-2015.
Yeah, pretty much when that movie was being promoted, Adam Sandler pretty much owned the title Pixels. And what he did on the video sharing site Vimeo, he put in a copyright claim on everything that had the word pixel in it. So anything that had a pixelized version of this trailer, or a pixelized version of that, or our 8-bit pixel version of this, got pulled because pixel was in the title. It got so bad that Vimeo, in their algorithms, pulled down Pixel's own trailer, because which was funny to assume, in and upon itself. It's like, oh, we got to pull down everything that has Pixel in the title, and you just shot yourself in the foot. Thank you.
Pretty much.
It's one of the reasons, yeah. Stuff like that, when word like that gets out, there is backlash. A lot of people don't realize it is, but between what I've also told people, between Hulu, you see it more so on Hulu and Netflix, it's more of the syndication wars that are now predominantly digital, where back in the 80s and 90s and earlier than that were on TV. Now you have it on the digital aspect, a lot of people fighting for it. And Hulu and Netflix is going to come out on top.
Which, I mean, is really great, too, because I think one of the only, like, growing up, I predominantly only watched Nickelodeon, Cartoon Network, and Fox. And my mom, like, pretty much only watched, like, NBC and, like, ABC and, like, CBS. And so, like, they were always paying, like, $100-some a month for cable when they didn't really – and, like, my mom always used to say growing up was, you know, I wish I could just pay for the channels that I actually watch because I don't watch Sci-Fi. I don't watch C-SPAN. I don't watch the Spanish channel. Like, why do I have to pay for something if I'm not using it? And I think that, like we were saying on our show, that being a cord cutter, it really is a benefit for this generation because not only that, but you also have a great selection at your feet. And I mean, yes, you have it, and it's being a 90s kid, and having Hulu, it's a great thing for me because, you know, I don't have to spend hundreds of dollars to get, you know, the shows that I grew up with because I can go to Hulu and go to Kids and I can find Rugrats or I can find Doug or Clarissa Explains It All and all these other shows that I grew up with. And yes, it's awesome to see shows like that on there. But it also kind of sucks at the same time because of the whole, like, licensing thing. And one thing that I really loved growing up was Blockbuster. And if there's any kids listening to this right now, Blockbuster was this amazing civilization that existed. And essentially you went in and walked around and actually picked up physical copies of these things that you now get digitally. And I love still going into but at the same time, like, if I want to watch something, I'm not always guaranteed to have it on Netflix, and
or Hulu for that matter.
Yeah, and that's the downside of this digital age is that I love going into Blockbuster and saying that I wanted to see this new independent film. They always had it, but you know, like, you can't say that about Netflix because while Netflix does have a great selection of B-list movies and independent movies, they don't always have all of them.
True. What I tell people who've I've had people literally argue with me saying that me as a cord cutter is paying as much as they are, if not more, for programs that that they watch. I'm like, yeah, right. It's like, listen, between what I pay at home, internet excluded, I pay $10 a month for Hulu, $10 a month for Netflix, YouTube is free, and that's $20 a month versus your $200 that you're probably paying. If I really want to watch something like The Walking Dead and get it next day, yes, I might be paying, let's say, $40 for Walking Dead and another $40 for NCIS, the current season, to watch it the next day. That's $80 for the year, and let's say another, that's $240, that's $300-something for the year. Break it down, that's less than $30 a month, and that's show math. And you're paying $200, and if you have the basics, that's $50 a month. Good chance if you want to watch The Walking Dead or some other show, it's on a package you have to pay another $10, $20 more for in the long run. And you're just paying that for one show.
Yeah, and so also being in a digital age now, too, is like most of the shows that at least the culture that we appeal to watch, you can pull up right on their app. And, like, I know that I'm a big Arrow fan, and I'll be darned if I miss, like, one episode. Like, I'm usually, like, the day after, like, it's one of the first things I do in Thursday mornings is I pull up Arrow on my CW app. And so even now we're in an age where you don't necessarily have to pay monthly to kind of get some great programming. You can just pull it up on an app.
Providing the app that you use for the device you got works right.
That is true.
meaning, for the listeners who out there who know that me and the Xbox One version of the CW app does not agree at all. At all. It seems to have worked right. They might have updated it, but at some point it was not working right at all. And Xbox Live does not have... This is the downside. The consoles, I'm talking about PS4 and Xbox Live in this, or Xbox One, they do not have a lot of the streaming apps that I could get programs for free. I could get Vudu, Netflix, Hulu, and the CW app. Aside from that, I got nothing. I have digital content on Flixster and one or two other streaming apps I can't get to because the licenses for the consoles were pulled.
I think I totally agree. Like, CW has come a long way from their initial start. I remember watching the second and third season on that crappy... well, the second season, because by the third season we had Hulu. But just, I remember watching the second season on that CW app, and it would, like, it would crash so many times. But now they've actually updated it, and if I'm not mistaken, they relaunched it with literally everything. So I think you can watch it now on all platforms. I think Sean, one of our other co-hosts, he watches everything through his either Xbox or PlayStation. So I think now they have a CW Hulu, or not a CW app that actually works proper.
Yeah, that's kind of the bad thing. It's just that the downside is that if the networks crash for Xbox or PlayStation, you're literally out of luck, to put it politely. Yes, we're trimming our language on the show this week, folks. I know a lot of you listeners out there know that we tend to be a little not safe for work, but for this week, we're being safe for work, so... I know you've been on shows. What other kind of geeky interests have you been that are you into? So
I'm an avid comic reader, and I've been in doing our show. We've been trying to one aspect of our show is definitely trying to not only bring the forefront of, you know, suicide awareness and all that other stuff, but it's also been to discover and really showcase independent talent. And almost every episode that we've ever had, we close with an independent artist or like a local band or like an unsigned band or, you know, whatever have you. But one thing that we've really been trying to do is we've really been trying to showcase independent comic talent. So we'll start reviewing comic. Recently started reading comics and then reviewing them and telling people where they can get them. And there are some incredible, really independent talents out there that not a lot of people know about. But for me, like, I love comic books, and I'm a big movie junkie. So I watch a lot of movies and listen to a lot of podcasts that revolve around movies and comics and nerd culture as a whole. But I don't know, man. Like, the only aspect of nerd culture that I can't get into is video games. And I can't get into them simply for the fact of lack of time and lack of patience. Like I said, I'm a 90s kid, so I still have a PlayStation 1. I still play from time to time, but it's not something that I have the, I just don't sit down for hours, and I just, I don't know. To me, it's never really been, even when I did play it, it seemed like a waste, in my opinion. That's just my opinion.
With me, I kind of agree with you that not too much of having a lot of time for gaming. It's just that when you try to play something, mention something that's cross-platform, so both sides or all three sides could understand, like Call of Duty or something of that sort, where you hop on and you're kind of discouraged because you have the hate. I won't say the hate, but the high-ender, the people that have more experience than you, yet you're a casual player. Which is why I got a lot of enjoyment when, before I started this, I was listening to another show, and what they tended to do every Saturday is like, hey, I'm off work, we're not recording a show until Sunday night, why don't we make Saturday night gaming night with the fans? If you want to join us, this is our gamer tag, we'll play Call of Duty, we have this system, so if you have that system, hop on, this is our gamer tag, we play, we have a good time. We chit-chat, fan interaction, and we had a blast. And just chatting with the guys, just treating it like a bunch of fans. Yet I've tried, I won't say doing it with our show, but a lot of other podcasts that I was friends with offline, when they do something similar, it was like, hey, let's team up for this match or that match. It was, hell no, why are you bugging us? Like, wait a minute, you invited us to be friends on this system and play together, why won't you do it? We don't want to know nothing from you. And it was like night and day between these two different shows. So it having the right group of people to play with is always a plus. Always, especially if it's just geared towards fun and shenanigans.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. And I don't know, like I've obviously, like there's being a DC guy, like, and May coming around, Injustice 2 is coming out, and Injustice, the first one was, and the Batman Arkham games were all games that I enjoyed playing very well, and, but at the same time, like, I think money's also an issue, because I don't want to throw down $60 for a new game every X amount of months that I'm only going to play a couple times, you know, but
yeah, I know how it goes. I just picked up, ironically enough, Magic the Gathering, and luckily I have a great bunch of co-workers who are very friendly, and hopefully I'll be, again, this, folks, this is future plans, no guarantees, card subject to change. Hopefully we'll get together, and if they allow it, we'll be doing a How to Play Magic the Gathering type video for all you guys out there and gals, because they're a great bunch of people, and one of the people that our group mutually knows, he is developing a brand new card game, desktop, tabletop card game. We're part of the beta group, so he knows, he gets that rookie player, that casual player input that he needs for his game. So
yeah, and my wife can attest to it. I'm kind of a crappy loser when it comes down to it. So like I've gotten better over the years and since we've been married, but for the most part, like I don't know. To each their own, I suppose.
I could say this, yeah, we haven't probably listened to the same podcasts in the past, but if we did, I would bring up one in-joke that they had. When playing with them, they had a player, I don't remember his gamer tag, and I wouldn't put it up on our show either way. He was is still a male nurse. And what happened was, he got so frustrated at the game that we were playing, he literally took his controller, tossed it at the foot of this TV, breaking said controller. A $40 controller, I might
wow.
add, that his wife bought him. So, in essence, it wasn't for him. It was his wife's console and controller, if I remember correctly. Causing him to get yelled at while he was in party chat with everybody hearing about it. So, it became a running gag that if you rage so much during the match, it's called male nursing.
That's awesome.
So it became part of our little groups, like, are you going to male nurse this match? So, which caused a round of laughter and so forth and so on. But what else can we go into? Movie-wise, what are you expecting to see this year?
So I've only seen one movie this year, and we reviewed it for episode 38, I want to say. And you guys can go to our website, victimsandvillains.net/episodes-1. And it was The Founder. And I thought it was probably one of the everyone was talking about Split. And I wanted to see Founder. I've been waiting for The Founder since last April. And I'm a big Michael Keaton fan. So to kind of get to see him play opposite Patrick Wilson was in it, and also getting to see him opposite Nick Offerman was really great. It was really great to kind of see Nick Offerman in a different role other than Ron Swanson. And a lot of people don't know him. He's actually been in a lot of independent movies, and he's a really good addition, and he's always different in every role that he's ever been in. Believe Me is one that I would recommend, and also Me, Earl, and the Dying Girl. If you've never seen those two movies, Google them, look them up, find them. They are well worth your watch. But as far as this year, obviously being a 90s kid, again, I keep plugging that. I'm looking forward to the Power Rangers. I think that is probably one of my most anticipated movies. Wonder Woman, Justice League, and Thor Ragnarok. I'm like very hesitant to want to see, but I also like I'm such a Guardians of the Galaxy and Chris Pratt fan that Guardians of the Galaxy is high up there on there, and I'm just being an independent kind of guy. I really want to see kind of what movies are coming out of these independent film festivals, like the Toronto International Film Festival or Sundance, and just because they've festivals like that have just produced so much talent over the past couple years, and I'm wanting to see what kind of talent came out of those festivals this year. South by Southwest is another great example, but I have such a different and wide taste, but all the ones that I'm highly anticipating this year are all of the bigger budget tentpole comic book movies. So I haven't really
seen about the same here
trailers outside of those. So
yeah, about the same here, because last year overall, with a lot of what came out, I'm going to include Captain America in that. It seemed a little bit lackluster, so hopefully this is going to be a brighter year. But how big of an indie fan are you? Are you a horror fan in any way?
I am, and actually, while we were recording, I kind of got the news that they pulled the plug on Friday the 13th.
Yeah, I just saw that too. I want to dig into that in reference to what's going on with that.
Go
for it. I saw it. I want to dig into it to see what's going on.
Oh, okay.
But because I found out just like you are, you know, I saw it come up. You know, I doubt I'm going to find the story. reference to it breaking.
Which is weird because they Variety reported, or the Hollywood Reporter, sorry, reported that it was actually 6 weeks away from shooting, which is about accurate because they were supposed to start shooting next month, and it's kind of a little bit disappointing because I've never really been a big Jason Voorhees fan, but speaking of horror movies, I will add Saw Legacy to this year's most anticipated movies. Saw and Freddy Krueger are probably my big franchise people.
Let's see. I have the article up right now. It says, okay, seem to be moving along to steady pace. About to begin production mid-March. This is as of Bloody Disgusting, so let's see here. It was supposed to be scheduled release October 13th this year. It doesn't say, it just says no word yet on filming is still scheduled to take place in March, or the project has been once again completely scrapped. They'll update.
The Hollywood Reporter who broke the story actually had said that they looked at kind of the dismal and lukewarm response that Rings, which is another horror film franchise that obviously spawned from the 2002 film The Ring, which is a American remake of Ring U, the Japanese film from the late 90s, maybe early 2000s. But they essentially didn't get the response with that they were hoping for, which is kind of disappointing because that's such a great concept. But I feel like it's been so long since they've really done any kind of Ring movie. So I feel like that's the reason it didn't do well, in my opinion. But
not to mention, The Rings is a Japanese import. Nothing against the Japanese or a lot of their movies. It's just that the ports don't really do well here in the States, for whatever reason.
They actually, they won't say they don't do well, but what they do is they almost try to make a carbon copy. And in Japanese culture, from the research that I've actually found, is that the things that they find scary because of cultural myths and cultural backgrounds, and that's never really translated to American.
Right. Well, not to mention here, they might see a little bit more success with Friday the 13th because of the staple, it being a horror staple for years. But then again, it's a classic. A lot of people will know, to kind of pull back for a little bit, if you are a B-horror movie fan, it depends. I want to recommend it, but I don't know what your tastes are in the B horror movie community. If you get a chance, rent the remake of Plan 9. It's definitely worth the rent. That way you can have a chance to see if you want to own it or not.
Okay.
Because I think it's available on Vudu for rent, and from what I was told, it's available on video on demand. To see if it's right for you. That way you're not out the $10 for the DVD at Walmart. But in our latest episode, which when this is posted dropped last week, but as I stated, that when you pick up the DVD at Walmart, their current promotion, meaning not Walmart, Plan 9, is that if you take a selfie with the DVD, you get digital content, extra digital content, and it's not, oh, you're going to get some photographs and production stills. You're getting the soundtrack, and you're getting an interview that the director did and you're getting another full-length movie.
Well, that's awesome.
So in essence, that he did. So you, in essence, you're getting two 90-minute movies for $10.
That's pretty sweet.
And they're low budget, and he does pretty dang good work. And there's a lot of nods to the original Plan 9. But it's his take where Peter Jackson redid King Kong because that's what influenced him to become a filmmaker. Plan 9 was, the original Plan 9 was this director's influence to him becoming a filmmaker. So he got the permission and rights to remake the film in his way. So I gave it about a very solid 7.5. It's worth the rent. I don't know. The reason why I say that is because it's a B-movie. They tend to do a little bit more things that most modern-day films don't do now. So, rent. That's my best suggestion. If you because I don't know you that well, rent it. And if you like what you see, do pick up the DVD later and do the whole promotion. That way you're able to get the extra content.
Yeah, the I love horror movies, and I think some of the best horror movies that I've ever actually seen, I've seen on FearNet, and one that's really stuck with me was this one that is called Drive Through, and I still to this day love that movie. It's just, it's so, like, it's such a perfect balance of, like, humor and like scary and like over the topness, and it's just, but I don't, when it comes to horror, like there's two things that I don't like in horror, and I don't like over-sexed horror or like super graphic sex scenes, and I don't like the whole like spiritual like seances and like stuff like that. But if it's just like a good slasher film, those I can deal with. And those are the kind of movies that I like when it comes to horror. But I don't know. I like B-list horror. There was actually one that was released a couple years ago, probably about 10 years ago at this point, and I've only ever seen it on FearNet once. And it was called Red Velvet. And it was the story of this guy. If you've ever seen it, watch it. It's only like an hour and a half, and it's well worth it. There's a really graphic sex scene in there, so I like just fast forward through that. But the premise of this movie is this girl, essentially, she misses this like big like party one weekend because she had to work, and the weekend, the Monday after her, she finds out that all her friends died, and this guy that she meets at a cafe or a diner essentially tells her like how they died and like what happened. And I mean, he goes into like super like heavy detail, and there's like a twist at the end, but it has the kid from E.T. in it. And it was the only time I've ever seen him in anything that wasn't E.T. And it was just such a great little horror film. But I've never been able to either find it or, like, ever see it. I've only ever seen it once. And it's just a movie that's really stuck with me. So, like, I love B-level horror film, but there are just some that are just straight garbage.
Oh, I know that. I've seen that. It's like, why am I watching this? And other times it's like, oh my god, this is awesome.
Yeah.
To me, that's Roger Corman, that they're so bad they're good, yet I'm yelling at the TV, like, why am I watching this? Why did you just go back past it? Why did you pick up a rolling pin instead of the knife, you idiot? You know, I'm doing armchair commentary over a stupid movie. So, and I'm sure you've done that too, and just yelling at the screen. It's like, you just picked up. Your house is full of swords, and you just picked up a rolling pin?
Yeah.
Moron.
Yeah.
So, or they pick up a knife, and it's a butter knife. It's like, wait a minute, you just walked by the steak knives? Idiot. one of these days I might actually have to do that with one of my co-hosts because he has a decent TV hookup of everything and do our own commentary over a movie or something like that.
Those are slowly becoming popular with podcasts. I know our friends over at the Retro Rewind podcast, they'll do that for their Patreons. They'll pick a movie and they'll do a commentary over it. I think they just recently did Super Mario Brothers or something like that. But they make it exclusive for their Patreons. And there's a channel on YouTube that does it. And so it's slowly becoming a thing, which I never would have thought about. I mean, who wants to take 2 hours and watch people or hear people do that?
Well, you have to figure a lot of people are, with the comeback, which is coming within the next month or so to Netflix, which is Mystery Science Theater 3000, where that was their big gimmick, was watching them watch a movie and commenting on that movie in a humorous way. So, which that series was a success for over close to 10 years. But if it's easy content, it's fun content, and sometimes it's a way to get things out there that, hey, I was thinking that same dang thing.
Yeah.
And
I could see that. I guess it's just I'm just not the audience for that. I grew up trying to watch Mystery Science Theater 3000, and I could never get into it.
So, but you said you like a lot of movie podcasts. Have you heard about the podcast, How Did This Get Made?
I think so. Sounds familiar.
The head person behind it is Paul Scheer. He's a comedian in Hollywood. He's an actor in Hollywood. He's done a few things. I mean, there are times it's hysterical, and they go through a lot of different movies. I think the last episode I downloaded, they were talking about, I don't have my iPod with me, but I know they did stuff, they covered stuff like Sharknado, they did Escape from L.A., they've done like Con Air, they've done a whole mess of different movies that you've probably seen. But they just pick them, like, they find a plot hole and they just, they don't really make fun of it, but they talk about it. It's like, why did this happen? Why did they go through this road? And ultimately, how did this get made? Why did this get made? What were they thinking? And it does tend to get really hysterical sometimes. I do recommend giving it a listen, going to they're only limiting their episodes to the past 20 or 30, not so much reasons, but everything past that they have behind a paywall so they can keep the lights on, but at least for the past couple episodes, it's free.
Okay, yeah, I'll give it a chance. I'm always down for, like, hearing, like, new podcasts and discovering things like that. I've actually never seen anything like Sharknado. I refuse to watch those, and I just saw on Facebook that they're doing a fifth one. I'm like, what?
I just saw the fourth one. I didn't see it, the movie, but I saw it was available on Netflix. I'm like, all right, there's the fourth one. Then all of a sudden on Facebook, the fifth one is being in development. Really? I don't think they needed to go past four.
Yeah, I'm the kind of guy that, like, will see something like that and be like, how did this get made? Yet I'm the one that defends the Human Centipede trilogy. So I'm kind of, like, weird in that way, I guess.
Hey, don't knock it. You're talking to somebody who constantly defends the movie Life Force. And it was covered on How Did This Get Made. I'm like, oh, you're ruining my childhood. I loved that movie.
Nice.
Hey, we're talking about a movie that is bad, but it's one of those movies that would be geared to I'll say it like this, a straight male straight teenage male of its time, because it came out, I think, in the late 80s, early 90s. And for the most part of the movie, when the lead actress pretty much spends most of her time full frontal, you're going to pay attention. It's awesomely bad, but awesomely good at the same time. I don't know how to explain this. And I've shown it to friends. It's like, wow, what are you going to do about this movie? Well, I'm going to create a drinking game. And one of the things that I've done is like, okay, every time somebody physically walks through a door and it's not a cutaway shot, you have to take a drink. And I've had friends go, you want to kill us, don't you?
Nice.
Because there are scenes that it's literally a hallway full of doors. It's a straight cut of person going through a door, closing that door, opening up another door, walking through it, closing it, walking through another door and closing it.
Oh, man.
And it's a can. The film company that put it out is Canon Films. They were big in the 80s. They've made movies like Death Wish 2, Death Wish 3, Electric Boogaloo, He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. And they also did Over the Top. A lot of campy movies that shouldn't have been made, but they were in their own right awesome. But like I said, for a teenage boy grown up in the 80s, that, all right, here's a movie that I could watch on HBO that is, in essence, a horror movie. It's a movie that doesn't know if it's a horror movie, a sci-fi movie, a vampire movie, a zombie movie, or something else. And it's like, I'm confused yet I'm being enjoyed at the same time. I don't know what's going on. But, again, that's just me.
Yeah, I got it pulled up here. And looks like it's got some talent attached to it with Tobe Hooper, the director of Texas, the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and Patrick Stewart starring. 1985, Life Force.
Yeah, surprisingly, it's both good and bad at the same time in every single way. It's like, what? I'm confused, yet I'm memorized. This is a train wreck. Why am I watching this again? But that's what makes amazing movies. You know this. I know this as well. That movies can have bounce, and I say that a lot. Movies that have bounce are great. I'm sure both you and I can name movies that have bounce. I mean, you could drop them. If they don't have bounce, they're not cool. They got bounce, they could come back to cool. If you know what I mean.
Kind of.
Meaning, you see it with like, let's see. Like the Evil Dead series, they've got bounce. They're so bad, they're good. They bounce back to good.
Yeah, I could agree with that. Like, there's obviously, you know, being in fandom, there's like certain comic book movies that everyone's like, I wish they never made, or like, you know, I wish I could forget those. And some of those, for me, like, I've talked to people at conventions, or I've had conversations at work, or, you know, just over, you know, just meeting people and doing this podcast, that you always. People go, well, what's one of your favorite movies? And I'm like, Batman Forever is my favorite movie of all time. And they always kind of go, Jim Carrey, the Riddler? I was like, yeah, he was perfect. And I think the thing that people don't realize about that movie was that it was actually supposed to be a lot darker, and it was almost, original cut of the film was 3 hours, and Peter David had done a novelization of the original script, and it had so much more meat to it. And it was probably the only film up until that point in the Batman franchise that had actually dealt with the trauma of seeing your parents die right in front of you. And the original screenwriter just kind of did it so well, and then that for me, like, is so many people go, it's so bad, and I'm like, I love it. Like, I can say the same thing about Batman Forever and Green Lantern. Like, I love those movies. I can't say the same about Superman 4, A Quest for Peace, or Steel. But those two, those Batman movies, I could say those.
Oh, I'm sure that, especially with Steel, I could get people to tell you outright, man, dude, that's a classic. How dare you?
I've never actually seen it. Like, I would watch it. I didn't really kind of dig into Superman mythology till I was probably 21. So, like, a lot of, like, my mythology, I didn't start getting into comics till I was probably 2008. So I was, like, 17. So I've only been doing comic books for, like, a very short period of time. And but I'd give it a shot. Like, I'd give it a shot. I know Shaq can't act for crap, but I'd still give it a shot.
So, but what I'm talking about is, like, if you had ever had somebody come up to you, or if you ever said, it's a classic, how dare you? You're a movie fan. You're a cheesy movie fan.
I would agree with you. yeah, I can definitely handle the cheesy at times. Like, there's like camp I can't really do, but like cheesy I can.
I could kind of do both. Depends on the movie, and you know, if it has a slight spot in my heart, you know. Other times it's like, yeah, it's got camp, it's got balance. No, I'm not going to see that movie again. No, it was fun the first time, but not the second.
Yeah.
No. But we've been going on for a good hour and change for us. If you want, we could cut it there. And
yeah.
So what do you think?
Yeah, go ahead. I was going to say we can cut it there.
So in that case, where can we find you guys?
You guys can find us on Facebook. We are facebook.com/victimsandvillains. You guys can find links to all our past episodes and everything on our website, victimsandvillains.net. You guys can follow us on Twitter at VNVcast. And we are also on our network, Nerd Herder, which can be found along with all the other great programs like our friends over at Get Your Geek On and Retro Gamers and Pop Culture Explorers can be found at facebook.com/nerdherdernews. And that's it.
And guys, you can always find our past episodes, as always, on our Podbean site, which is longcoatmafia.podbean.com. We are also available on iTunes and Google Play Music. Rate and review us, because it does help us out. And if you care to leave a message on us, email us for any further information that we might have left out, or share any tales with us, you can always email us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com. Our Twitter and Instagram handles are both the same, and that's Longcoat Mafia. And our Facebook page is facebook.com/TheLongcoatMafiaPodcast. And we're out.
It's shocking, humiliating, and it's unacceptable.
Oh, come on. It's a classic. The only show in the world that gets better the more it's rerun.
Do I get a choice?
No! No!
Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Okay, people, move along. There's nothing to see here.